All right, so hey everybody, it's Brian from Harvest Community Church or harvestchurcheugene.com. I can't believe it's 2021. Can you? Wow. So I hope you had a great Christmas Eve. I hope you had a great end of 2020. I hope you had a great New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, all of those kinds of things. I'm sure we're all glad to turn the page and see a new year come. Now, the tough reality is that the coming immediate days are probably going to feel a lot more like 2020, but man, am I thankful for a new year. I'm sure you are too. I want to welcome you this morning. I want to encourage you just to do a couple of things. I want to encourage you to go online on, however you're watching, and do a couple of things. Just interact with us a little bit. Say hello. We'd love to meet you. We'd love the chance to see how you're doing. We'd love it if you'd as well click on our links. We have links on YouTube, links on Facebook. You can fill out our digital communication card. We would love to hear from you, love to know how we can pray for you in this new year. In fact, would you do that? Would you give us something specific to pray for in this new year? As we enter a new year, I sure hope that you're wanting to be in the Word this year. We'll have new bookmarks so we can read through the Bible together, not necessarily through every chapter, but we're going to be reading in the Bible together this year. We're going to invest a lot in our faith this year. We're going to talk today about what it would mean for 2021. I'm probably going to say that wrong at some point, right? For 2021 to be the year of bouncing back, the year of resilience. You know, 2020 was a year unlike any other, and no one knows what 2021 will hold, but we do know the one who holds it, right? And we know that after a year like 2020, man, do we want to be stronger in 2021. And so this morning, we're beginning a new series in the Scripture, in the Bible, called Stronger. It'll be about how to have stronger souls, stronger lives, stronger faith, even stronger families. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I want to make sure that we know where to find strength. And to be clear, that strength is found in our walk with Jesus Christ. And I hope I'm praying that you'll grow in that walk with Jesus Christ this year. In fact, can I pray that for you now? I would love to. Jesus, I thank you today for who you are, and I thank you that you are alive and well, and that nothing of the last year or the next year has caught you off guard. And so, Jesus, I pray today that you would move in our souls, that you would speak to our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would show us what it means for 2021 to be a year where we're resilient. Lord, speak to us as we explore the Scripture today. Move in us and change our hearts. More than anything, make us like Jesus. Fill us with grace. Fill us with faith. Fill us with love. Make us like Jesus, please, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen. So today I want to give you a verse to memorize for the year ahead. In fact, I mentioned this verse about a month ago, right around Thanksgiving, little before or after that, maybe 6 weeks ago. I mentioned this verse that it might be, you know, sort of the verse of the year for 2021. And here's that verse. It's Galatians 6:9. And it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up." Man, what a verse. What a verse. I want to use this verse to challenge us to begin the year stronger, to seek to become stronger people, to be people who are more resilient. It's why I am calling 2021 the year of resiliency or the year of the bounce back. And I would challenge you today to take this verse of Scripture, Galatians 6:9, and to commit it to memory. So today I want to talk to us about resilient souls. And if you're taking notes with me today, this would be the one thing that the message is about. The singular point of the message today, even though there are a lot of, you know, sort of sub-keys and various things we're going to play into it, really the one thing I want to convince you of today is this one issue, that resilient souls are born from resilient faith. That developing a soul that has resilience, that can bounce back, a faith that never gives up. The resilient souls are born from resilient faith, from a faith that is tenacious, a faith that is persistent, a faith that will hold on no matter what. That is to say that, that if we want our souls, body, mind, spirit, that if we want all of that, that's what the soul is, body, mind, spirit. You are a soul, you have a body, you have a mind, you have a spirit. My prayer for you in this coming year is that you'll know where strength comes from in this life, and that your strength will come from a faith that will emanate from a faith that will never give up. I'm basing a lot of this on just the concept of resilience. The dictionary is going to define resilience this way. It is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties, a sense of toughness, the capability of a body under strain to recover its size and shape caused by stress, an ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. In material science, resilience is the ability of a material to absorb energy when it's deformed, sort of elastically, and to release that energy when it is unloaded so that it returns to where it originally started. In physics, resilience is the ability of an elastic material like a rubber band or certain tissue to absorb energy and then release that energy so that it springs back to its original shape. You know the first usage of this word? Our word in English, resilience, comes from a Latin word. And the first time it showed up, it was hundreds of years ago by the scientist Francis Bacon. Interesting. In an age where so many fear, so many things, where 2020 was such a difficult year for all of us, I think we need to dig in and talk about what it takes to recover, what it takes to bounce back, what it takes to be resilient. Now, I want to contrast that a bit with this concept. The opposite of resilience is probably a lot of things, like a sense of a toughness or hardness that like a rock that just has no give. But at some other level, sort of emotionally at least, I want to challenge you that maybe not the opposite, but something on the other side of the spectrum at least from resilience in faith would be to have a faith that is disposable. And I think that when we've gone through difficulty like we have in 2020, it is super, super easy for some of us to just sort of set things aside for a while. I don't want to challenge you not to do that. Not to have a disposable faith. You know, it used to be that things were made to last, but that's really no longer the case anymore, right? That if you study people and you look at the things that people use, everything's sort of disposable now. I mean, think about it, like our cell phones. They're meant to break, to be transitioned, to be upgraded after a year or two, three. Whether it's disposable plates or disposable forks or disposable coffee makers, disposable stuff is everywhere. And we have, over the decades, tended to treat our relationships and even our faith as disposable. I want to challenge you to treat your faith as though it is not only not disposable, it's essential and it needs to be tough but resilient. And so I want to talk today about how to develop a faith that never gives up. And I want to take you to that verse I'm having you memorize, Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. I'm going to give you just a little more. You should read all of Galatians 6 this week sometime. It's a great chapter. But I want to challenge you with this, starting in verse 7. It says, do not be mocked, Galatians 6. God cannot be mocked. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh
from the flesh will reap destruction, and whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And so let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. And therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So how do we develop a faith that never gives up? How do we do good in our lives in a way that walks with the Spirit, invests in the Spirit, invests in our faith? How do we develop resilient faith so that we can have resilient souls? I'm going to give you, I think, five keys for that today. Let's run through them very quickly. Number one, this gives us a principle of proactivity. It's telling us that we need to be proactive, that we need to be, here's your blanks, we need to be aware and intentional about resilience. It says, let us not become weary in doing good. It's not really clear, but anytime you read in the Bible and it says, let us not, it's actually a command. And it's a command to the plural. It's a command to the we, but it's a command. Don't become weary, all of you, all of y'all. Don't become weary. That's what it's saying. Don't let yourselves become weary. And so I need to be aware and intentional about resilience, that in a sense I need to be able to diagnose and know, where am I at? You know, there are a lot of sources of giving up, if you will, a lot of sources of discouragement. This one little verse sort of outlines several of them. There's fatigue, right, where I can become weary physically, emotionally. There's frustration, where I can feel like giving up because of timelines, right? I'm having to wait. There's failure. There's that sense of, well, I've been sowing and I've been planting, but I'm not reaping any harvest, so I feel like a failure. That'll make me want to give up. And there's fear. It would be really easy to be persistent and consistent in something in your life, but do it so long that you're not seeing the harvest and you think, well, I'm never going to see a harvest. What if we never reap a harvest? And fear begins to take over. And it would be super easy this new year to look back at 2020 and feel fatigue or frustration or failure or fear. And there's really two sides to this. Right? If there's a principle of proactivity here, then it means I need to ask myself, am I weary? And if I am, why? And once I know why, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to recover? I need to be proactive about recovering. But the other side of that coin is, if I'm not weary, how do I live at a pace and live with a faith that stays that way? So there's a principle of proactivity for us that says I need to be aware, I need to be in tune, and I need to be intentional about recovery and resilience in my life. Number two, the second key we find here is a principle of togetherness, that he is saying, let us not become weary in doing good. That there is a sense of togetherness in this, that this is written to us. In fact, if you go back and you read the whole chapter, you'll see at the beginning of chapter 6, verse 1, it says, brothers and sisters. It's writing to all of us. And if you really read Galatians in context, you go back to the beginning of the book of Galatians, what you find is in Galatians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia. See, Galatia was a region, and there were a lot of churches in the region, and he's writing to all of them. And what he's reminding us is that we need each other. In fact, chapter 6 is all about, as a whole, providing spiritual and physical care to one another, about restoring each other gently, about carrying each other's burdens, about taking responsibility for our own actions, but in a way that leaves us generous to care for others as well, about planting seeds of faith that follow the Spirit. Chapter 6 is all about togetherness. And so this is reminding us, and we said this a lot in 2020, that we're in this together, that we need each other, that if I'm going to walk the faith and I need people in my life, you need people in your life. And as we talk about this new series, Stronger, part of what we're going to do is challenge you to have people that help you walk in the Word, to have people who help you walk through the faith together. I know it's been so challenging to be strained where we cannot gather together physically. But that doesn't mean that there aren't ways for us to check on each other. So let's do that. Let's be in each other's lives. Let's connect with each other, and let's help each other with the faith. Number three, there's a principle of grace here, and it's fairly hidden, but I want to show it to you. Verse 9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up." In context, there's some sowing, some planting going on, and some reaping going on. And what I want to show you is that when I sow grace, I reap grace. When I sow of the Spirit, I reap from the Spirit. That's what he's telling us in verse 8. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. That the result of sin will come from trying to please self. But if I live, if I plant, if I sow to please the Spirit, then the Spirit reaps eternal life. And I want to be careful here. Because planting or sowing and reaping makes us think that if eternal life is on the line, then somehow this is about me and it's about what I do. But it's not. Eternal life is squarely about the grace of Jesus Christ. But as that grace begins to unfold in my life and I begin to walk with the Spirit of Jesus, what we have is this sense that I need to work out what God has worked in me. That's what it said back in the book of Philippians we studied last summer. And what I want you to know in that is that the walk with Jesus, that the walk with his Spirit is a walk of grace. But there has to be some planting going on. And if you want to walk with the Spirit, you don't have to look far. Chapter 5, just a chapter before where we're reading, talks about what it means to walk by the Spirit. And it tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And what that's reminding me is that this is not about what I can do to produce these things in my own life. It's about walking with the Spirit of Jesus so that he will produce these things in my life. In other words, I will reap what Jesus has planted. And that's pure grace. But I want you to know, I will not only reap what Jesus has planted, I will reap more than I sow. I will reap more and more fruit. There's sort of this principle from farming that says the farmer is going to plant a lot of seed, and he's to some degree trusting that he's going to reap what he's sown, and in some cases, reap more than he has sown. And certainly we can look at it and say, when it comes to the Spirit of God at work in our lives, the Spirit of Jesus living in me, that he has produced far more than I have ever sown. And so this is a principle of grace, this principle of sowing and reaping, planting and reaping. Number four, there's a principle of trust. There's a principle of trust that faith is waiting in the gap between what Jesus has started and what Jesus has finished. Now, I know we talked about this principle about 6 weeks or so ago, but I wanted to come back to it because I think it's so important that we understand this, that you and I live in between what Jesus has started and what Jesus has finished. And when we get tired and fed up, when we get discouraged, we're often here in the middle somewhere, thinking that Jesus is never going to finish what he starts. But the reality is he will. He will. And faith waits in that gap, looking to see what God is doing, expecting Jesus to work. He says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time." That there's a timeline here. There's a sense of time where we're waiting on God's time. And faith, it's just waiting in that gap with expectation that God is working. You know, the ancient Greeks had a couple of ways of marking time. There was chronos, which is sort of just the addition of time, right? It's just the beat of time. It's just as time goes on, the timeline. And then they had this sense of time that was appointed time, like special moments that are a moment, an opportunity, a sort of pregnant time. And that was kairos, and that's what it uses here when it says at the proper time. Let us not become weary in doing good. Why do we keep planting good in this world? Why do we keep walking with the Spirit and planting the things of the Spirit? Why do we keep doing that? Because we're trusting that at the proper time, the harvest will come. If we do not give up. Which leads me to the fifth principle. Principle number five is a principle of persistence. And the principle of persistence says this, that the combination of consistency in my life and persistence in my life is powerful. The combination of consistency and persistence is powerful. That I get sort of a compounding interest type of effect. If you've ever had to pay back a loan, you know that compound interest does not work in your favor, like a mortgage. But you also know that if you have investments, or that if you bought a house or something of that nature, that compounding interest does work in your favor. And what I would want to show you is that a consistent faith and a persistent faith is like compound interest. It absolutely works in your favor. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's a big if. And so in your family this year, don't give up. In your job this year, don't give up. In your faith this year, don't give up. In your marriage this year, don't give up. In your finances this year, don't give up. This is the year of resilience. Don't give up. I was watching something with Dr. Henry Cloud this week, and he was saying that, you know, there's this phrase we use in American life where we say that people rise to the occasion, you know, where they sort of rise up in certain critical moments, that when the kairos time, the pregnant moment, the appointed time comes, that people rise to the occasion. He said he had friends that are Navy SEALs, and that Navy SEALs would tell you that they actually say the opposite. They say, we don't rise to the occasion, that you actually fall to your level of preparedness, your level of training. And so Navy SEALs, who are the best of the best, right, train at the highest of levels because they're not counting on someone to rise to the occasion when life and death is on the line. They believe that you fall to the level of your preparedness. You fall to the level of your training. And so they train very high. What I want to challenge you to do this year is to take that mental mindset into your faith and to say, I don't want to fall to the level of a low preparedness, a low training when it comes to my faith. That in my faith, I need to rise, not to the occasion, but to the walk with the Spirit of Jesus that trains my soul to trust. And when I don't feel like being consistent, to just keep walking the faith. And when I feel like giving up, to just keep walking the faith. And when there are moments that are difficult, to persist in them, to be resilient, to bounce back. And I'm going to be straight with you. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. You can't do this in your own strength. You can't. And that's why we're doing this series, Stronger. And what I'm going to do next week is I'm going to take you to the next book over. I'm going to take you to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to spend quite a bit of time in the weeks ahead at the end of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And then he goes on to tell us how. So we're going to spend the next weeks talking about how. You in for that? You want to train for that? You want to have a stronger faith, a resilient faith that'll produce a resilient soul? Me too. Can I pray that for you? We always end our services with two prayers. The first is a prayer of salvation. If you need Jesus today, what you need to know is this, that you cannot do anything to make God love you. He already does. And because He already does, He sent His Son. His Son died. He was born, right? Christmas. But He grew up. He lived a perfect life. He healed people. He touched people. He taught people. He was crucified. He died. On that moment, the sins of the world were placed upon Him, your sins and mine. He was buried into an empty tomb. And on the third day, He walked out of it alive. And He offers that love and that grace and that forgiveness. He offers all of that as a total free gift. He paid the price. You get all the benefits. It's grace. But you have to receive it. Will you? You can right now. You can pray with me just like this. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came, that you lived, that you died, that you rose again. Jesus, thank you for being God of this insane world. So Jesus, be my God and take over my life. Jesus, please forgive my sin. I turn to you and I put my faith in you instead of myself. Because I've been trying on my own for way too long. Jesus, please live in me. Be my God. Be in charge of my life. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. If that's you and you prayed that prayer with me just now for the very first time, would you let me know? The digital communication card we mentioned earlier, we would love to hear from you. There's a place on that card to say that you've become a Christian. Or you can email me. I'm Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at harvestchurcheugene.com. I would just love to hear from you so that we can help you connect with us. You're not in this alone. We're in this together. We want to walk with you and show you what it means to be a part of a church. So please, reach out. I always end with two prayers. I said that first one we just prayed is a prayer of salvation. Number two, many of you have prayed that prayer before. I want to end with a prayer of application. A prayer of application. It's a prayer of discipleship, a prayer for those of us that need to lean into Jesus in this coming year. Would you please pray this prayer with me? Out loud or in your soul? Like this. Dear Jesus, thank you for making me stronger. In 2020, such a tough year. Jesus, make me even stronger in 2021. Jesus, help me to stay aware and intentional, to be resilient. Remind me to help others and to be helped by each other, because we need each other. Jesus, help me to plant seeds of grace and all that means. Remind me to look for you, to look for your working while I'm waiting. And Jesus, help me to remain consistent and persistent in my faith in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer. Here's what I can promise you. If you think that your ability to remain persistent and consistent relies solely on you, it does not. That this year and every year, Jesus has a grip on your life that is consistent and persistent. And this year, we're going to talk about what it means to walk in that grip of grace. What it means to walk in our faith and feed our souls, how to be stronger, as it said in Ephesians, how to be strengthened in the Lord. I can't wait for next Sunday. I can't wait till that day we can all gather back together again physically. But in the meantime, man, I sure hope you're walking with Jesus this year. Remember this, we love you all. You're not alone. I'll see you soon.